So he says, the challenge, real challenge in life, even after you've traversed the obstacles of shalol lishma, then we get up to tarovas. The word tarovas means a mixture, right? When you go to smicha, one of the important topics that you learn is the halachas of tarovas. What happens if something not kosher falls into something that is kosher? How do you deal with that? These shilas come up all the time. Okay, so here, Malacha Rabbah takes a tremendous amount of effort and careful examination to deal with Taroves HaIsser. He's not talking about milk and meat over here. That's not what we're talking about over here. The Hainu. Now we explain. Person can sometimes begin performing a mitzvah 100% Lishma, Lishma Mamish. Okay? You do it because it's the right thing to do, because Hashem said so. That's what's motivating you. That's what Hashem says. Sometimes you may also, in the back of your head, or maybe not so far back in your head, you may have another interest in mind as well. Okay? Again, he's not putting any of us down for having multiple incentives for doing something. So I don't want anyone to walk away feeling like, oh, if I'm not up to this, like I'm a failure. That's not what Shlomo Shalom is saying. Shlomo Shalom is talking about someone, David HaMelech, Lev Tahor Barali Elokim, the heights of aspiration, okay? Sort of reminds me, which, you know, I hope this gives people confidence. There's a startling statement by the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos at the end of Makos. So you're familiar with the words we say all the time, or the rabbi says all the time, right? Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu L'zakas Yisrael U'lefichach Hervel and Torah Mitzvos. So Poshut Pshat is Hashem wants good stuff for Klal Yisrael. So what did he do? He gave us a lot of Torah and mitzvos to fill our days and to occupy ourselves. Okay, so, you know, right? If we sit around bored and we're twiddling our thumbs, we're not doing anything, we end up getting, you know, wasting our time or getting mixed up in the wrong occupations, hobbies, whatever it happens to be. So that's an easy shot, but it's more than that. The Rambam says something a little bit scary. He says, you know, you live a long life, and there's a lot of things to do. It's not so easy to really get everything right. Torah mitzvos have a high standard and very demanding, but Hashem gave us 613 mitzvos, and we know there's really millions of mitzvos, because over the course of a lifetime, at least we'll get one of them right. Right? Meaning it's so hard, but there's so many opportunities that every person is going to at least get one mitzvah right. I was hoping for, you know, at least 427 out of 613, you know, some decent batting average, you know. But the Rambam says, maybe you'll get one of them right. Okay? Check it inside. He doesn't use those exact words, but that's how it's understood, that the more opportunities, so the upside of that is that you're bound to do something correctly, but that's already an achievement, then it should be understood in a similar vein that when the Mesil Sisharm sets the bar high, because he's talking about the tzaddikim, the gedolei olam, historically, you know, top-tier righteous people, all right, but at least if I can do this once, sometimes, even if it's infrequently, but it's a very significant accomplishment nonetheless, okay? But at the same time, nothing that I should be hard on myself about if I can't do it constantly. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Okay, so he says, here we go. On the one hand, you're doing Lishma Mamish, but in addition to the Lishma Mamish, you also are interested, or you will appreciate the fact sheyishabchu b'nei adam. People are going to praise you. They'll say, great job. What a tzaddik. That guy is always helping people out. He davens so beautifully. Yekabel schar b'maseihu, he's going to get reward. That's the other thing he might be thinking, right? We said before, he has to do shalom amanas v'kabel pras, but okay. But he may otherwise feel, I'm doing it for Hashem. But he knows in the back of his mind that that's a fringe benefit. Sometimes you may do something with wholehearted intent, and you're not even paying attention to anybody else, right? You're not doing it for approval. You're not doing it because of what other people are going to say. But you realize after the fact, or while I'm in the middle of it, oh, people notice, right? And then you feel good about that. Okay, again, that's natural. Smoach libo. Gemara talks about the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajon, Gemara in Avodah Zarah. She was posas psios yafos. She was walking in a very dignified manner, and she didn't necessarily notice that there was any anything to be particular about. Kevin Shasham Shaomrim Kamenos Psilosa Sharivazu Miad Diktika Yosef. But she heard people whispering on the sidelines, oh wow, how nice that, oh look, you know, so special, so tsanua. So she became more careful about what she was doing in a way that brought out the positive of her action, but was motivated by the approval that she got from those who were paying attention. Okay? So our Tosefes Hazen Nolad Mikoch HaShevach Sheshebchuha, the additional extra that she put into that came from the fact that she was being praised for it. Even though, again, primarily it wasn't coming from a bad place to begin with. Getting back to the question of the mixtures, the milk and the meat, he says, something as small as that is batel b'mi'uto. You can nullify it figuratively because it's the minority. That's not the main thing that's on the person's mind. So we can overlook it. And it's acceptable to brush it under the carpet. Akoponim ha-maisa shetaroves kazeh b'socho. Torah legamri enenu. So even though, for all intents and purposes, Gehenim or Gan Eden, person going to Gan Eden, we can say anything else that occurs beneath the surface, between the lines, it's not going to shter the overall action. But you can't call it Tohor. Right? Tohor is absolute. Tohor is absolute. Sort of reminiscent of a vort of Reb Chaim. I think Reb Chaim Soloveitchik said like this. You know, we make a big deal about the very, very tiny bit of chametz can ruin everything, right? Unlike other mixtures like milk and meat, 1 in 60 when it comes to chametz, even if you have a mashehu, right? Tiniest bit of chametz on Pesach is not batel, and everything becomes usher, right? So, the clash between chametz and matzah, we also view on a deeper level as a clash between emunah and the lack thereof, right? The Zohar calls matzah the bread of emunah. Okay, you eat it; every bite is sinking your teeth a little further into the emunah that the seder and the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the yontif of Pesach, is meant to engender. So why do we care so much about that little tiny bit? Reb Chaim came from a question that is based on the pasuk in Melachim Beis. Everyone knows the story about Elio Bahar Carmel, besides Rami. Everyone knows the story of Elio Bahar Carmel. No. One of the most dramatic stories in all of Tanakh. Elio says, okay, final showdown. He had 400 false Nevi'im, prophets of the Baal, the Avodah Zarah. They all went up to Har Carmel, majestic mountain, up near Haifa or Tzalia, whatever. And they said, okay, we're going to have a simple test. This was in the midst of famine, right? There were years of famine under Achav and the other either evil kings, but primarily during Achav's reign. That's when it started. Go up on top of the mountain, and they said, you bring a korban, we'll bring a korban, we'll see which one the fire comes down from Shemayim to devour, to consume. So Eliyahu says, okay, you guys go first. And they lay out their animal and whatever, and there's a guy hiding underneath, inside the Mizbeach. He's going to light a fire from the bottom, snake bites him or a scorpion bites him, whatever it is, guy dies and the whole plan, you know, done. So Elio Hanavi is making fun of them, you know, because it says that they were calling out for hours all day, you know, Shas HaMincha, calling out to Avodah Zarah, answer our prayers, send the fire, and he's like trash talking them, oh, maybe he's sleeping, maybe he's schmoozing with someone, maybe he's in the bathroom, you know, like maybe if you get a little bit louder, he'll hear you and come out of the toilet. Mamish, like this was big Kiddush Hashem. Big Kiddush Hashem. Chil Habal. So then Eliyahu gets up there, and he doesn't just dab. First, they douse the animal with water. And they dig this what do you call it, like a trench around the Mizbeach. They fill that with water. Also, and this was at a time when there was no water because of the famine. Where did they get the water from? On the top of a mountain? Yes, Elisha's fingers. Elisha's fingers sprouted water. Okay, so it's just like miracle after miracle after miracle. And then with all that water, the fire comes down and swallows up, you know, burns up the whole carbon, and everybody falls flat on their faces. Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. Hashem answers the prayers of Eliyahu HaNavi, and they made a great song about that. Yeah, okay. Well, another time. What?
Yeah, the Velocian. No, the Via.
Okay.
One of the two.
The Seder. So, what happened over there What happened over there was a tremendous display of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha and the sheker of the Baal. In the middle of the showdown, as Eliyahu is giving them this musher shmus, you know, about their God being in the bathroom, he says, like, guys, this is it. This is your chance. You know, but you can't sit on the fence. He says, how much longer? Admasai atem posim al she'asi'ifim. He says, how long are you sitting on the fence? That's literally what he says. How long can you straddle the two sides of the fence? Either you want to follow the Baal, then follow the Baal. You want to follow Hashem, then follow Hashem. But don't be like, I believe in Hashem, I also believe in Ordo Zohar. You can't have it both ways. But the kasha is, how did he say to them, if you want to follow the Baal, follow the Baal? No, that's not really an option, right? How does he say that to them, right? And if he puts it to them like that, well, you know, so they believe in Hashem. Like, why would you drive them away from whatever amuna they had, right? This was like a major kirov opportunity. If they believe in Hashem, they believe in the Baal, so then, you know, like, send them to Ishar Torah a little bit, you know, teach them a little, Bible codes or something like that, and then they'll slowly move off of the Baal, and then they'll stick to Hashem, right? Why are you negating the fact that they still believed in the Ribbono Shel Olam? So that's what Reb Chaim said. Reb Chaim said the answer is because there's some things, unlike milk and meat, and, you know, the milk that falls in the chicken soup, when it comes to Amuna, it really is all or nothing. It really is all or nothing. It's true. A person has to be searching. A person may have questions, and they should try to answer the questions. And some they'll get answers to. Some may take longer for them to get answers to. Some they may understand in retrospect. Amun is something you're always working on. But at the same time, qualitatively, there's no such thing as 99% Amunah. Doesn't mean we're all at 100% right now. But the goal has to be 100% Amunah. There's no such thing as, I believe in Hashem, but I also believe that it's really how I perform on the interview that's going to get me the job. No, I believe that I need to do what I need to do, that Hashem will, Hashem says you can't sit back and wait for the paycheck to come in the mail while you're on your sofa. That was the curse of Adam HaRishon, right? You're going to have to work for it. Okay, I'm going to work for it, but it doesn't mean that the outcome is a direct result of kochi votzim yadi, my strength, my abilities, my wisdom, my sharpness. It's 1 + 2 = 3, but it's not a cause and effect. That's one of the hardest principles in life to truly internalize. That's the chovas halavavas. That's what bitachon is about. 1 + 2 = 3, but not 1 leads to 2 leads to 3. You understand the difference? It's very, very, very difficult. It takes a lifetime to try to apprehend and grasp that idea. But it is, to a certain extent, all or nothing. I'm being very careful what I say. I don't want to say all or nothing, and therefore you throw in the towel and you say, like, what's the point? Like, no, it's a lifelong journey. But ultimately, that little bit of chametz, that's the part. I think Rapan brings this in his Haggadah. That's where I saw it. The little bit of chametz represents the fact that even that mashu can spoil the whole thing. You can't worship Hashem, daven 3 times a day, but, you know, between Mincha and Ma'ariv, when you have a few extra minutes, you have your Buddha there on the side also. That's what Eliyahu was saying to the people on Har Carmel. So we have to see how that applies in our own lives, and it does, even if you don't have a little shrine to an idol in your, you know, in your house, okay? But Amunah is, that's what we're striving for. So likewise, why are we talking about that over here? He's saying, you can, if you have the right intentions, you may also have a side interest, and that's Beseder. That doesn't spoil your mitzvah. But you can't say that you're tahor. You can't say that you have fulfilled the mitzvah, the midah of tahara that we're striving for right now. That's something that requires a whole different level of growth. In the same way that emunah requires a certain purity and pristine totality and wholesomeness. Just to finish the paragraph, hiinei k'shem she'ino ola al gamiz bechel shel matel souls nekiyah menupa. Besides animals, what else do they put on the Mizbeach? Mizbeach is not a
barbecue.
Okay, but you put other things besides meat on. You put flour? Flour, water, no spices, wine.
You don't put on kinnamon?
Other Mizbeach. That goes on the other Mizbeach, right. Okay, sorry about that. Spices, yes. I thought you meant, like, seasoning the meat. It's not a barbecue, okay? Okay, so, Kfar Tohar Lagam Mikol Sig. When they would put flour on the Mizbeach, how do you say flour in Hebrew? How do you say flour that goes on the Mizbeach?
Kemach.
Kemach solas. So, les mincha, right? Solas means flour that was sifted 13 times. 13 times. Absolutely pure. Okay? That goes on the mizbeach. Very, very fine, high quality. How does it get there? Because it's been menupa. You put it through the sifter 13 times to get any little bit of impurity out. Then it goes on the mizbeach. Kach ef shalalas al rotsim mizbacho el yonleos meyavodas hakel ha-shleim av mucheres el ha-mukhush b'maisim tarmi kol minei sik. So likewise, you're both saying, oh, this is so beautiful. It's like Nefesh HaChaim. Just like you can only put the pure flour on the mizbeach, Hashem, your head is also mizbeach. Your head is also based on mikdash. A man is a mikdash. That's the whole first section of Nefesh HaChaim. He says, if a person has an improper machshava, it's worse than bringing in a zona to the Kodesh HaKadoshim like Titus HaRasha at the destruction of the second base of Mikdash. I said, why? That's worse?
What's worse than that?
A Jew has the wrong thoughts. Understand?
Well,
so he says, you don't get it. Titus HaRasha was working with a physical structure. And the physical structure only has any significance because it's endowed with a connection to the Beis HaMikdash Shomayla. Beis HaMikdash Shomayla. You are a walking, living, talking, breathing Beis HaMikdash Shomayla. And the purity of your heart and the purity of your mind has more impact than the purity of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it's a very fitting mashal over here. They says just like the purified flour is the only thing that can go on the mizbeach, the true tara that we're not at this level yet. Got to accept that and be okay with that and just continue working. That's life, but also requires the purity of what will enter our own motivating driving forces, so that it can also be ola al ratzon mizbecho ha'elyon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, Manny, go ahead.
So if